coming to make an opportunity. The Bible says to make way for the Lord. Amen? Tonight, making way for the Lord. Hallelujah. Participating, being part of this. Amen? What God's saying. I want to be in a place of hearing God now. What God's saying to me now. I don't want to find myself in trouble and try to find the voice of God. But I want to know the voice of God. See, God wants me to walk in confidence that there's those that are lost that haven't ever had that opportunity to hear from God. Maybe they just don't know how to. And then, if I'm in a place where I'm hearing from God, hallelujah, then God begins to have an opportunity where He's not just trying to talk to me, but no, because I'm willing to hear Him, that I begin to hear what God's saying, hallelujah. God wants to talk to you, hallelujah. And I find out that it's more than just me. Come on, amen. It's more than just me, hallelujah. I find out that God wants to... God finds His fulfillment, amen, in you and through you. Jesus says, hallelujah, that the Father abides in me and I in Him. That is the fulfillment. He's glorified, hallelujah. He's glorified. The fulfillment of God is through you in your life. That He can be expressed in your life. Hallelujah. They can flow through your life. He sent His Son. Broke all barriers and obstacles. Come on, amen. So that Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. We're talking about Jonah. Amen. Last week we talked about Jonah. We talked about that. Talking about a due season. Say due season. Amen. Let's have a conversation together tonight. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at Jonah, and I just want to just go through this, and I want to see and let you know that Jonah was at a place, and we could check out. I want you to go ahead and get Galatians 6:9, I believe. Galatians 6:9. Get that ready. How many of you have ever been a place where that you've been in this place right here that we can look at the scriptures, Galatians 6:9. Says, don't be weary in well doing. You know, the scripture always declares something. So if there's an opportunity to be weary, there can be an opportunity to be weary in well doing. Amen. For in due season we shall reap a harvest if we faint not. I want you just to lay this out here tonight. We're talking about Jonah, where that Jonah was hearing the voice of God. He was at a place where he was a prophet of God. God was declaring something in his heart. But I want you to know, for some reason or another, maybe it is an opinion, maybe it was something within him, but he began to reason the assignment that God placed upon his heart. I don't know about you, but sometimes we begin to reason the assignment and we find ourselves in trouble when we begin to reason. Come on, we look all through the Bible. Anytime men and women of God begin to reason in their heart, begin to try to outthink God or think beyond the flesh, in the flesh and not in the spirit. And that's what gets us in trouble, because it causes us to become weary. He says, I know you're going to be weary, but do not faint. Hallelujah. Don't let it get too far. Amen. That sometimes we get weary. Sometimes we get to a place where that we begin to question the assignment of God in our lives. We begin to question. And so let me just say this, that God fulfills Himself in others and through. In others and through. That's what God desires. That's the heart of God. See, because God created us in His own image and likeness. That was the heart of God. Let's create man in our image. That was the heart of God. Tell your neighbor, guess what? I'm created in His image and likeness. Hallelujah. I want you to know that we continue. There's an assignment upon us to release who the image and likeness of God is to those around us in our lives, our families, our friends. We have an assignment of God upon our lives. Amen? And the enemy wants to distract you. We talked about that a few weeks ago, how that he does everything he can to throw everything he can to distract you, to get you off course, to begin to change your season, that you give up on your season. But I want you to know that God was doing something in Jonah. I want you to get this. God was doing something within Jonah because God was working in his life. He was trying to work some things out through him. That's what God does. God works out things in our lives. There's some things sometimes that we carry. There's pains and there's hurts that sometimes that have been in our lives that they're baggage sometimes. And God wants to release them. God wants to take them off of us, that we don't have to carry them, that we don't have to be weary. Because remember, there's some things we put on ourselves that aren't His image and likeness. There's some things that maybe somebody else put them on us that aren't His image and likeness, aren't really who we are. But we carry them. So I want you to know there were some things here, because we're going to understand that as soon as God told Jonah that he was going to go to Nineveh, he went the other way. He gave up on the assignment. He began to run from the presence of God. That's what happens sometimes. You run from the presence of God. You get weary in it. But God was trying to get him to be at a place where, that we talked about this, where that you don't give up on your season. That we got to understand that whether it is in season or out of season, we need to be the same. See, God wants to work in our lives that I want you to see Christ, where that no matter where he was the same. Hallelujah. He stood in the Word. He stood in what the Father declared to him. He never gave. He never went to the left, never went to the right. But he stayed and he stood, hallelujah, in faith to the Father. Amen. I want you to know that we're not no more wavering back and forth. The Bible says that tossed to and fro, wavering by every wind and every doctrine, every belief that comes my way, that I begin to reason everything, that I'm tossed here, I'm excited, I'm weary and I'm not weary, I'm weary and I'm not weary. But God wants us to stand strong, that no matter what comes our way, that we know He's faithful. David said that I would have fainted, if I would not believe to see the goodness of God. I would have fainted. But he didn't waver. He stood strong. Amen? He had his moments, just like every one of us. Amen? So here is him having a moment. Amen? Say he's having a moment. Let's take a look real quick. Can you look at 1 Peter 1, 5 and 7? And this is where we ended up last week, where I'm going to read this scripture as he gets this ready. So when God spoke this to him, he says he went from the presence of the God. He went from the presence of the Lord. Amen. He was running from the assignment that God called upon his life. I want you to know sometimes things cause us to be distracted of the assignment of God. But the Lord. Say, but the Lord. See, enemy, listen, God always has a plan that overrides your plans. See, His love for me is greater than my disobedience. His love is greater. First Peter says, who are kept, say kept, by the power of God. Thank God, because there has been times where that I have given up on my assignment or I've become weary. But God has kept me by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Hallelujah. Has God kept you in times sometimes that you don't know how you got through this thing? Come on. But God has kept you. Come on. Amen. You can look back now because you're here tonight. You can remind yourself of how God's kept you through some of the fires and through some of the storms in your life. Amen. And now it has become an opportunity for you to declare God's goodness. So he revealed in the last times. And that's declaring something for us to understand, that you begin to get to a place where that it's the last time. He's talking about something even more, because we can see here. He's talking something not just the end of a day or of a time, but he's talking about an end of a moment, that you're no more tossed to and fro, going back and forth, but you're able to stand. Amen. That you stand and wait upon the Lord, that no more back and forth. Amen. Coming to an end of it. That's what God brings us to a place. And he says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious, say more precious, than gold, hallelujah, that the perish, that though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. I want that to be in your heart. I want you to get that. And he's declaring something that, listen, you've rejoiced, you've been through temptations, but we have to get to a place where that no matter what, in season and out of season, we're the same. God's the same. He never changes. tell someone that God has never fallen off his throne. Come on, you got to tell somebody. You're not telling somebody. This is a conversation, amen? Tell someone. Maybe you don't know this, but he's never fallen off the throne. He sits upon the throne, hallelujah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, amen? He doesn't waver. He's not fearful. He's not, oh my goodness, they're messing up the whole United States. Oh my gosh, look at all these different things. Come on, amen. They're going to make a wide world government or whatever. He's not fearful. Hallelujah. He doesn't shake. He doesn't waver. Hallelujah. When the doctor gives a report, he doesn't shake. He doesn't waver. He's not fearful. Come on, amen. He wants us to stand in faith in the midst of that. We're not in. We're not out. We're not in. We're not out. Believe in God, not believe in God. But no, we stand. Hallelujah. We stand. We're not moved. Hallelujah. By the winds or by things that come our way. But we stand in the midst of it. So God was working upon. Out of the midst of his disobedience to Jonah, God was going to work for the glory of God because there were some things wavering within Jonah. Just like our lives, sometimes there's things that are wavering. And sometimes it takes the wind to come our way. And that wind, in the Bible, talks about it many times. It's called a Euryclidean. And that wind blows from the east and it comes from the wilderness. It comes from a desert place. It's dry. It's powerful. Listen, I want you to hear this. And it says, but the Lord sent a great wind. Who sent the wind? God sent the wind. God will disrupt your plans. But I want you to hear this. He says, into the sea. And there was mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was, stay with me, it was like to be broken. I want you to know that God will bring you to a place where there's a place there. He says, it was like it was about ready to fill. There's been times in your life you feel like you're about ready to break. Listen, I want you to hear this and know that, see, God will begin to break something within you. Come on. To reveal his strength in your life. God will bring you to that place of your end so that he can begin to work. So that you stop working and he starts working. That Christ begins to appear in my life in many ways. Amen? But the Lord sent it. And I wanted to add this because I wrote this down too. Don't reason in your due season. Don't reason in your due season. Amen? It was like to be broken. But I want you to know that the assignment within, God wanted to start a revival. He spoke to him. He says, listen, I want you to go. And remember the word that God gave him. He said, I want you to go to Nineveh. He said, because in their wickedness, and that speaks of an inferior quality, they are not representing who they're made to be. Come on, amen. They are not duplicating. They're not releasing what I've created them to be. They are working in an inferior quality. I want you to know that sometimes that will give me some compassion for some people to realize how God sees things. That He desires us not to live in an inferior quality of being. Come on, amen. But we're created to walk in dominion. Come on, amen. And in power and strength. So he began to tell him, he said, I want you to go there. Why? Because he wants to start a revival. He said nothing about destroying them. I want you to go, and he said, I want you to preach to them. Tell them to repent. Change their ways. They're holding on to something that's inferior to me. Let them know how big I am. Come on, amen. I want you to tell them how great I am. But I want you to remember, he wasn't there yet. Because he wasn't realizing and remembering the goodness of God because he ran from it. He had some things that God was going to work out of him. And the only way it was going to happen, if he gave him an assignment, put it before him, he said, I want you to go. Listen, if you don't ever know what it is, you never know what to run from. When God spoke to my heart and told me that I was going to preach here, I turned and ran the other way. I don't want to hear that. Blah, 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 blah. That's my wife. No. I didn't want that. I just wanted to do life on my own. I didn't want that. I didn't want to be a shepherd. I want to be a sheep for a while. run around the pastures, eat some grass, not smoke it, eat it. Come on, amen. But see, I would have never known that God expected of me. He spoke that to me, and I went through a lot of emotions. Come on, I went through a lot of things. We went through a lot of things in our hearts and questions like, why? There's a lot of people more qualified than me. And us, and come on, we went through all these emotions and all these different places. But it would have never, if it wasn't presented, if we weren't in a place that we were designed to hear from God, the what God wants to hear. But when He speaks, we got to listen. We got to take hold of it. Amen? Am I making sense? The east wind breaks us, but delivers us. The east wind will break you, but it'll deliver you. That wind will break you, but deliver you. Amen? That wasn't a dirty look at Austin. I was telling him to kill the heat. I'm dying. If not, put a jacket on, please. Here. You put something on or I will take something off. No. Okay. But God wanted to start a revival, and He needed to start it in Jonah. I want you to know that sometimes we're asking for revival out there. We're asking God to stir them, stir people, stir our families, this and that. But I want you to know that it only happens whenever it starts in me. I can never revive anything unless I'm revived. I'm refreshed. And sometimes I want you to know that, you know, sometimes we ask for revival. And I don't mean it in a bad way, so please don't get this out of your mind. We're crying for God for revival. I want you to know that it's us. He is already, God has never left us, never forsaken us. It's I that have run from the reviving. Amen. Listen. Let's look at that. He says, and it was like to be broken. Let's look at Romans 8:31. I just want to give you a couple of scriptures. I'm not going to get through this tonight. You all know that, right? Romans 8:31, it says, what shall we say unto these things? If God, say with me, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31, he got it. He says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, who shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Say all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Hallelujah. It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us? Who shall? I want to show whatever you're going through, wherever you're at, who shall separate? I want you to know that there was something that was separating, in a sense, in his mind, from God. He was running from God, trying to separate himself from God, trying to run the other direction, trying to go the opposite direction of the assignment of releasing who God was, letting God revive him in his heart. He was running the opposite direction. And I want you to know that we need to cry out to our hearts, how can I run from his love? Hallelujah. What can separate me from that love? There's nothing. Stop running. Tell your neighbor. We all got to stop running. Amen. We all run some certain way, somehow, some way of letting God touch us and mold us and make us. Amen. And he says, who shall separate us from this self? Tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or the sword? Is as written, for the sake you are killed all the day long, and you are counted as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all things, say in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a powerful understanding. That is love. That his love for us knows no boundaries. For as the east is from the west. You chase down the west and you'll run into the east. You run to the east, you'll run into the west. There's never ending. Amen? Whether you like it or not. Amen? So let's jump back here. He says, "And then the mariners were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down." Say, he's gone down. Where's Jonah? Come on, amen. He said, "He's gone down to the sides of the ship that he lay and was fast asleep." I wrote this. It's important to do our part. It is important that I might not have it all together, but together we have it together. We are more than lovely. Listen, I want you to see this. That without Jonah's doing his part, sometimes we're on our boat, sometimes we're doing things, sometimes as a church, come on, that sometime we'll be sleeping on their assignment, and everybody else is trying to keep this thing afloat. I want you to see the importance of this. I want you to see how important it is, how great we are together. How powerful we are together, that we accomplish great things in the name of God together. We're stronger together. We're empowered together. Amen? Woo! I just saying that just stirs my heart. I love you. No boundaries. Come on. That we need to have the heart of the Father, that nothing will separate that love that I have, that God has in me for you. If there is something, we've got to shake it. Because God will turn up the fire. Because you are representing Him. Amen? He says, let's look at this and see. He says, "And so the shipmaster came to him." I want you to know that they're wondering what's going on here. Here's this guy. Why is he sleeping? Does he not care? What is going on? It's good. He says, "Why is he sleeping?" And he says, hang on, where are we at? "And so the shipmaster came and he said unto him, 'What meanest thou, O sleeper?'" Say, "O sleeper." He says, "Arise, O sleeper." I want you to know that he's sleeping on the assignment of God. Sometimes we try to sleep on the assignment of God. There's something going on. I want you to know, you can't sleep on the assignment of God. God will send somebody your way to say, "Awake!" To get up. To remind you of who you are and what you're called to be. He said to him, "Awake, O sleeper." Amen? He's sleeping, but Jonah was asleep. And he said this, and he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon your God." Hallelujah. God will bring somebody in your life to remind you to call on God. And they don't even know His number. He's calling you to call on God. I want you to hear this and know that, man, there's something that you are a chosen one of God. Jonah, there was something about Jonah. He had a calling on his life. Just like you have a calling on your life. You have this, when you receive Christ and you're born again, there's a calling within you. Come on, amen. There's a calling within your heart and others see it. And you begin to act opposite of that. They wonder what's going on. Listen. And he says, "If it so," he says, upon him, he says, "If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And he said, "Everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." You know where that lot is going. You know that Jonah knew that it was coming on him, that they're going to know that, guess what? This lie detector test was going to show that he was the one that was sleeping, and it was happening because of him. I want you to know that sometimes that when we run from our assignment, it doesn't just cost you, but it costs those that we love. It costs those ones. Because why? Because we, each one of us, are in His image and likeness. That when you run from the assignment that you know you're called to do, to represent Him, to come on, to be like Him to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your people at work, to those that are in church, when we're sleeping on our assignment, they lose out. There's a world that's lost out there. Come on, amen. And we are sleeping on our assignment. Come on, amen. Sleeping on the assignment. And he says, And they said, every one of his fellow, come and let us do this. And he says, and then they said to him, tell us, we pray thee, for what cause is evil upon us? Why is this evil upon us? What is, listen, you ready? What is your occupation? There's something about you. Come on, amen. What's your occupation? I want you to see this and know that God will use somebody to come your way to remind you of what your calling is. The most unexpected people. Sometimes God will put people in your life to irritate you. To no end. And he says, what is your occupation? He says, and where do you come from? What country? And he says, and what people are you from? And he said unto him, he says, I'm a Hebrew. Listen to this. Amen. I want you to hear this. He says, I'm a Hebrew. Ephesians 4:1 says that it's our occupation that we have let's look at that. You got that real quick, Ephesians 4:1. He says, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that we walk worthy of our vocation, our occupation. Of our vocation. Tell someone it's not vacation. You cannot vacation from your assignment. I want you to know, come on, amen. There's a lot of people that sometimes have got wore down from people. And the first thing you try to do when you're weary is vacation. Vacate. What's that song? Get out of here. If it's the last thing I do. But vocation. He says that we're not to be on a vacation, but we have a vocation. I want you to know he tried to vacate the calling, the assignment of God in his life. You can't vacate it. I want you to know that, listen, we only find our purpose and understanding in Him. I want you to know they were bringing Him back to reality. They were telling Him, I'm a Hebrew. Hallelujah. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a child of the Most High God. You might not see it now, but I am. Hallelujah. I am a prophet of God. God's doing something to me. I don't like it. And I try to run from it, but I realize and I know that I couldn't do that. Amen. And he says, and every one of his fellows, they came. And he says, and then he said, tell me, where are you from? He says, and he said unto him, he says, I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And then the men exceedingly were afraid. And they said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them so. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm? And he said, take me and throw me overboard. Amen? Say, tough love. Tough love. You got to throw me overboard. Because I'm not jumping. You got to throw me overboard. Because I don't know if I could do it. Throw me overboard. Listen. And they have this compassion. I want you to know that sometimes, I want you to know that you holding back and you having compassion for somebody that's running from their assignment is the worst thing that you could do. And instead of you patting on the back and say, it's okay, just relax and don't run to God. You need God. Go get back to God. Come on, amen. You need to get God. Come on, amen. You need to run unto God with all your heart. Come on, amen. There's an emptiness within you. You know you have it within you. Get back to God, amen. And he says, so we have to be at that place where they're willing to throw somebody off the boat so that God can get them. Hallelujah. I've been in those places sometimes. But I had to just let go and say, God, here you go. I want you to know that I can't save anybody. I'm not called to do it. Because he's already done it. But I want you to know, it's the Holy Spirit that can only change somebody, that can turn them around, that can get their attention, that can draw them back to Him. So we got to let God have His way. But what we do is we begin, maybe I'm talking to parents or whatever it is, but I want you to hear this, or husbands or wives or whatever it is, but here, listen. And he says, we got to be careful. And he says, and then he said, then said they unto him, where am I at here? Take me up and cast me out. And nevertheless, the men, they rowed, and they rowed hard. Listen, I want you to hear this. That, man, they just didn't feel right about throwing this guy. Our natural compassion feels like we can't do this to somebody. I can't just whip them off the boat. I can't just do that. So we're going to row. They're rowing as hard as they can, and they're not getting nowhere. I want you to see this and know that sometimes us trying, all we're doing is prolonging the inevitable. We need to let God, we need to give God His space. We're not doing anybody any good. Come on, amen. We're not doing them no good. We need to say, God, Holy Spirit, have your way. Then let me tell you something. My parents unleashed the Holy Spirit upon me when they took their hands off me. I'm going to tell you something. I could probably specifically tell you the around the week in the year of the moment I knew my parents let go. Because I felt the heat of God breathing on my neck. Moving fast. I want you to know something. We just got to let go and let God. Amen? We need to do that. You can't change people, but the Holy Spirit can. Sometimes we have good intentions. I got one. I just haven't used it yet. Thanks. Is it that bad? Okay. Listen. He says, who you over? He says, and so here, let me just finish up here. He says, and wherefore they cried. He says, we can't cast innocent blood. So they took Jonah and they cast him out in the sea, and they tossed him from the rage, from her raging. It stopped. Say it stopped. The moment they threw him off, it stopped. I want you to know that sometimes there's some turmoil in our lives because we're doing things that we should be letting God do. We're worrying and we're wearing ourselves out doing things that we should just let the Holy Spirit do. Say, God, just have your way. Because I can't do this. I'm not able to do this. And with good intentions, we'll wear ourselves out. The Bible says that the enemy will wear them out. He says the people will wear out the saints of God. Will wear out the people, the saints of God. Amen? He says, and he took Jonah, he cast him out, he didn't stop. Then the men immediately, they began to fear the Lord exceedingly, and they offered sacrifice. Come on, amen? Listen, I want you to know. Listen, God is working on Jonah, but in the midst of his disobedience, God's saying, here's all these other sailors, these mariners, I'm going to change some lives right here. Because of his disobedience, I'm going to get the glory no matter what. Come on, amen? I'm going to get the glory. Come on, listen, I want you to see the power of God moving in the midst of this whole situation, that God is working. He is always, this is the love of God. This is a God that we love. This is a God that I'm in love with, that He's always doing it. Come on, even in the midst of my rebellion, come on, amen? He's working in my life to touch somebody, to move in somebody's lives. Out of the midst of my disobedience, God said, I'm going to touch him. And it says, and they began to sacrifice, and they offered sacrifice unto the Lord, and they began to make vows. You're my God. Come on, amen. But when he got into the boat, they were wondering which God. They says they were worshiping their gods. But by the time that Jonah got off the boat and they got back on track, they said, you're my God. Whom I shall serve. I love this. And he says, listen to this. Here we go. I'm almost done. Here we go. You ready? Here it is. This is God. Jonah does something. God does something. Trumps it. And then because this is what he says. And now the Lord. Say now the Lord. He said he had prepared. Had prepared. Just stop, man. I could just end it right there just for you to sit and think about that. He prepared it. Remember where God says that he created all creation. He created the whales. He created the sea, the creatures of the sea. There was one of them that was prepared for Jonah. There was one of them that was made for Jonah. Before Jonah ran, God prepared a way for him. God made a way for him. He prepared. What has God prepared for me? If he went all the way around these different directions and God was preparing a way for him, that he didn't have to pay for it. He didn't have to try to find his own way. He just didn't. But God says, I prepared for you a way. Might not be the way that we like. God says, I prepared for you. I want you to know that in Matthew it says that he compared the death, burial, and resurrection with Jonah. And just like with Jonah, out of the midst of his disobedience, running from the intentions and the plans of God for his life, that God prepared a way and he sent his son. He made a way. And he says, and just like Jonah was going to be in the belly of a well for three days and three nights, so was Christ. And it was making a way for you. For me, out of everything, not just some of my sins, not just some of my failures, but everything, I've already made a way for you. And all I got to do is embrace that gift. Listen, the grace of God is what God has prepared for me. And faith is my response to the gift. Faith is the response to the gift that God has given. I've given you my son. I've made a way where there was no way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Take hold of me. Receive what I have. Amen? Make way. Come on, Kelly. Come on. Thanks. Listen, I want you to know that here's the way. This is what God has prepared for us. This is the way. It's all about Jesus. I just want us just to not take it lightly and not realize what has been made way for us. That his love was searching and seeking and running after Jonah. As much as Jonah tried to hide and run from God, nothing was going to separate his love. No barrier, nothing that you could put up, nothing that you can try to front. His intentions were to get Jonah to express his love, that he would know in his heart that he would see his redemptive power, that he would see his power, and he would release it to a generation, and they would be set free because of what God set free in Jonah. I want you to know that God is, there's things that God's setting free in our hearts. Let him set it free tonight. Stand to your feet. I want you just to take hold of this tonight and just recognize. Come on, amen. Let your hearts be turned to God. Say, God, what are you saying to me, God, Lord? Am I running from something? Am I hiding from something? Whatever it is, God, speak to my heart tonight, God. Because whatever it is, God, Lord, you made a way out of it. No matter what it is, you've made a way out of it. Hallelujah. You've made a way for me. So I want you, as Austin begins to release everybody, I just want you to come and receive, hallelujah, receive it, the gift of God. You might think, hallelujah, that wind is destroying you, but I want you to know that in God, it's salvation. We got to recognize and trust and know the goodness of God. Even though you feel like you're going through this hell, you think like whatever that going through, I want you to recognize and know the goodness of God. That love, hallelujah, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to move, and I'm believing it and breathing it and knowing that God loves me, hallelujah. He loves me. He sent his son to die for me. I don't need no more proof. God, you got to show me you love me. He did, hallelujah. He gave it all, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that. Amen. Love you. Listen, everybody. I know 3 birthdays in March. Brother Roberto, Brother Ronnie, Michelle. Come on. Who else? Any more? Oh, Lindsay. It was at the beginning. Your mom? Yes. Wow. So we're going to celebrate birthdays tonight. Amen. We're going to celebrate life tonight. Amen. I thank God, hallelujah, that He made you. He made you. He gave you to us. And I'm going to celebrate you tonight. So come on downstairs. Grab some piece of cake. Take it with you or whatever. Eat a couple. In Jesus' name, have your way. And we will declare that we are